Hello everyone, welcome to the When It Worked podcast. You're with the host, Julian Leahy. Today I'm joined by the fantastic Dan Grech and Jeremy Funderburk. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Happy to be here.
Awesome. All right, well, we're going to play Jeopardy, and you know the rules, basically. We're just going to do one round. We'll get Dan the man from, where are you from, Dan?
I'm from Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
In the United States, and live in Miami.
Home of Rocky and the Eagles. How's that?
Well done.
What about you, Jeremy?
Born and raised here in Charlotte, North Carolina, here in the States.
Charlotte. Nice. All right. Well, I'm just going to have a sip of coffee. All right, Dan. The categories are science, trivia, U.S. history, 60s trivia, astronomy, and firsts. What would you like to kick things off?
Let's do science for 100.
Science for 100. Fahrenheit equivalent to zero centigrade.
So I get to answer when I pick it?
Yep. You have a crack, and then Jeremy can jump in if I say he can.
All right. What is 32 degrees?
Let's take a look. 32 is correct. All right. You're player one. Well done. Dan, you're still in control. What would you like?
All right, we'll do science for 200.
Science for 200. A device used in interrogations, but not in court. Not.
Go ahead.
Not admissible in court. All right,
it's a recording.
Well, I'm going to get Jeremy to jump in. You have an answer, Jeremy?
What is a lie detector?
Let's take a look at Big J down there in Charlotte. Well done. You're on the board for 200 and in control, Jeremy. Putting the fun in Funderburk.
Cool. So my pick?
You're in control, Jeremy.
All right, let's do science for 300. Let's keep it going.
Science for 300. We've got the science buffs here. The science which deals with the motion and behavior of bullets. It's also... I'm going to let Dan jump in if you know the answer.
What is ballistics?
Ballistics. I was going to say, it's also what you're going to go if you get this wrong. Well done, Dan. Dan, you're in control.
Science for 400.
Science for 400. Cleaning out the category. What you're stuck with, boiling down collagen, softening it with hot water, and letting it swell. That's a tough one. Collagen. Unless...
What is dough?
I'm not sure the answer. So, Jeremy, if you've got one, do you want to jump in? Whoever gets it gets the points.
Oh, I'm not going to have anywhere close to an answer.
I'll guess Jell-O, but I really don't know. What is glue? Okay, nobody got that one right. And
500. We're gonna, science for 500.
Jeremy's still in... Dan's still in control. Science for 500. In 1808, this metalsmith made copper plates for a Fulton steamboat boiler.
Who is Fulton?
Fulton, all right. Mr. Funderburk?
No guess here.
I've got a feeling now, I don't know my US history, but who is Paul Revere? He's something to do with the Civil War, isn't he? He rode a horse. He's nothing to do with this, is
yeah.
he? Okay, well, that's... Oh, it is Paul Revere. Okay. Now,
nice.
I saw the questions when I uploaded them, so I'm not some kind of genius. All right, Dan, you're still in control because Jeremy was unable to answer correctly. Not that I gave him a chance.
Let's do firsts for 500.
Firsts for 500. Dan's going big. In 1868, a Mobile, Alabama Mardi Gras parade first featured these. So this is the first time something happens in the Mardi Gras parade.
What are floats?
Let's take a look. Well done, Dan. Yes, that's correct. All right, mobile. It's mobile, isn't it? All right, Dan, you're in control still. What would you like? That was 500 points. Wow, Dan's on 900. Jeremy on 200.
What is astronomy for 500?
Astronomy for 500. Dan's going big to the nearest half day time takes the moon to orbit Earth.
What is 28 days?
28 days. Do you want to have a guess, Jeremy? Whoever's closest gets it. I think we're giving that one to Dan, the man. Gretch. Is that how I say your last name?
You got it.
All right, Dan.
Let's do 60s trivia for 500.
60s trivia for 500. In 61, this oil billionaire installed a payphone in his mansion for guests to use.
Who is Rockefeller?
Ah, I was thinking, I was trying to think of a billionaire. Let's take a look. I think that's, No, it's J. Paul Getty. I should have given you a chance. Jeremy, would you have guessed that? Be honest.
Nope, I would have guessed Rockefeller.
You're honest. You know, some people go, yes, I knew that, and they make me give them control, but you guys are honest. You're still in control, Dan?
Let's do U.S. history for 500.
U.S. history for 500. In return for Missouri's admittance as a slave state, this N.E. New England state was brought in as a free state.
What is Rhode Island?
Rhode Island. Do you want to have a guess, Jeremy?
Nope.
Okay. What is Maine? Which is close to New England, isn't it? All right. You're in control.
Trivia for 500.
The first group to identify as one of these was Gamma Phi Beta in 1874.
What is a sorority?
That's what I was thinking. Let's take a look. Sorority is correct. Dan is getting paid off for risking it all. It's good when I don't take off points for wrong answers, but you're still in control, Dan.
That's true. Trivia for 400.
Trivia for 400. State nickname shared by South Dakota and Florida.
I live in Florida.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. These questions are from a show that is very old, so if it could have changed. Florida.
Yeah, I'll say, what is the Sunshine State?
Sunshine State. All right, do you want to have a guess, Jeremy?
Seems absolutely wrong, but...
Let's take a look.
I guess here.
The Sunshine State is correct. Dan is on fire.
South Dakota.
The strategy is paying off.
U.S. history for 400.
U.S. history for 400. It was his partner, James Marshall, who actually discovered gold at his California mill in 1849. Probably started the gold rush.
Yeah. Who is Daniel Boone?
Daniel Boone was a man. Let's take a look. It is Sutter? Sutter. I can't even read. I don't know who that
is. Wait, would you have gotten that one?
No.
Yeah. Jeremy, okay, you got to give him a chance to answer. He'll never
get
it back.
I do. I think he's going to keep a low profile. It's a different strategy to avoid getting answers wrong. All right, Dan, you are in control. Have a guess, Jeremy, if you're not sure.
I'll do 60s trivia for 400.
60s trivia. It's a long time ago. In 1967, he was kicked out of the House of Representatives for reprehensible behavior. Probably one of the drunk Kennedys, I don't know.
Yeah. Who is Richard Nixon?
Oh, Dickie Nixon. Let's take a look.
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
Otherwise, he literally will never have a chance. I'm going to give him the control now.
Well, let's give him control.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
He doesn't want it. Come on, Jeremy.
The planet.
I'm not penalizing for wrong answers, so have a crack.
I'm just going to have to guess myself then, because that's going to be the best
guess.
I got. Let's go with first for 400.
First for 400. Religious named brand of cereal thou could first buy in 1901. still can get this cereal in the United States. It's kind of a strict religious sect, and it's got a picture of this old kind of, what are those people that came to America?
Okay, I got it, but let's...
Like a pilgrim-looking dude.
Yeah. I don't think, is that a cereal though? I don't know. I want to say like Quaker Oats, but is that a cereal?
Lock it in. Lock it in, Regis. That's correct. Wrong board, wrong game. You got it correct. It is Quaker's cereal. Quaker's Oats cereal. Quaker. Well done, Jeremy.
Nice job.
You're in control, see? Dan believed in you.
That was torture.
All right, what are you looking for now?
Let's go first for 300.
First for 300. The first ones to be nurses to serve coffee, tea, or milk. The first ones had to be nurses to serve coffee, tea, or milk. I think I could guess this.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm just not going to guess.
One of the last places they would let women in, and they let them in, but they had to be nurses to serve coffee, tea, and milk to the men.
My best guess would be like the military.
Sounds good to me, Jeremy. Let's take a look. What are stewardesses or flight attendants? Well, that is
bizarre.
That's
what I was going to say.
Oh, really, Dan?
You have to give me the points.
I'm going to give you the way you're structuring this. I've given
all
you
right,
the points.
Astronomy for 400.
Astronomy for 400. The Inquisition forced him to retract his belief that the Earth orbits the Sun. If I can remember, I'm going to remember this one.
Galileo. Who is Galileo?
Galileo. I had another one in mind. Do you have any idea, Jeremy?
Nope.
This guy's got like a crazy kind of Dutch name or something.
Copernicus.
That's what I'm thinking. Which one are you going to go with?
Why doesn't Jeremy go with Copernicus and I'll go with Galileo?
All right, let's see what happens. It is Galileo.
I didn't know that, actually. Astronomy for 300?
Astronomy for 300. From Greek for milk, a system of stars such as the Milky Way. Greek for milk, a different system of stars. So what do we say? I know what Spanish milk is leche.
What is galaxy?
Galaxy, okay. Jeremy, any idea? Do you know any Greek? And you know Greek is related to Spanish, so it all comes from Latin.
No guess here.
Me either. All right, galaxy's the only guess we've got. Let's take a look. Galaxies is correct. Well done, Dan. Dan, you're on fire. Incredible. 3,300.
I just looked it up. Apparently, gala is the Greek word for milk.
Mm.
I didn't see you Googling, but it was after the question.
I didn't look it up. It was after I answered. I know. All right. 60s trivia for 300.
60s trivia for 300. Gene Nidditch in 1963 lost 72 pounds and started this company.
Wait, what is Weight Watchers?
Weight Watchers. Okay. That's
a guess.
That sounds pretty good.
Jeremy?
Now.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
Do you know what I'm going to guess?
Mm.
Jenny Craig. Is that from the United States?
Nice.
Gene. All right, so Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig. If it's Jenny Craig, we'll give it to Jeremy.
Yes.
It is Weight Watchers. Well done, Dan. On fire, doing very well. What would you like?
Trivia for 300.
Trivia for 300. The moving tower used to service space launch vehicles rhymes with pantry.
Moving tower used to service space launch vehicle rhymes with pantry. What is cantry?
Jeremy.
I'm opening it for you.
I would suggest you is to make up a rhyme with pantry and see how you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Jeremy. Yeah. Give me something.
What is gantry? I don't know.
Let's take a look. Gantry is correct. Like, well done, Jeremy. You just snuck in there. I was going to call time on you. You're still alive. You're
good.
On 900 points, Jeremy. You can still absolutely do this. What
Let's
would you like?
Let's go with first for 200.
Just doing the maths. Maybe you couldn't do it. First for 200.
Yeah, I just did the same thing.
Until Swanson offered them in 54, you couldn't officially eat in front of the boob tube.
Mmm.
That's a, what the?
This is Jeremy's, right?
Yeah, Jeremy's a control. Do you know what the boob?
Dogs?
Do you know what the boob tube is, Jeremy?
TV.
Hot dogs is Jeremy's answer. We've got Dan absolutely chomping at the bit here.
I don't know what the term is, but it's like a microwave meal. It's like that, pre-made meal that you can eat in front of the TV.
Do you know what they were called back then?
I don't, so I probably won't get this right. But let's just call it, like, what is a...
I'll give you a clue. Something dinner, I think.
What is a TV dinner?
Let's take a look. TV dinners is correct. Well done. I owe Jeremy a clue. You still in control, Ben?
I was about to joke around and be like, what is it, like a TV dinner or something?
Exactly. Oh,
I joke around and said that.
Exactly. U.S. history for 300.
U.S. history for 300. This popular tourist destination was annexed in 1889 due to pressure from sugar planters.
Hmm. What is Hawaii?
Interesting. Okay. I always forget about Hawaii. It's closer to Australia than it is America, I think. Let's take a look. Hawaii is correct. How long does it take to get to Hawaii from the United States?
I think it's about 7 hours from LA.
Oh, it's much closer than it is.
By plane.
Okay, yeah. I'm talking nonsense again. All right, Dan, you're still in control.
Let's do trivia for 200.
Trivia for 200. NMI means this, as used in the name John NMI Smith. Is that the Mormon fellow?
Hmm. Wow.
NMI. What does it mean if they put NMI there?
No middle. What is no middle initial?
You got it.
Yeah.
Well done, Dan.
I've never seen that before.
Nor have I.
Me neither.
I was going to say.
And I think Jeremy figured it out too.
Yeah, I think you're onto something.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Trivia for 100.
Trivia for 100. Winning a birling contest is as easy as not falling off this.
What is a log?
What is
That's
a log?
Guess.
Jeremy?
That would have been my guess as well.
Log is correct. Well done, Dan.
Birling, who knew? First for 100?
First for 100. Combat candies made to melt in a GI's mouth, not in his hand.
Huh. What is a Hershey's Kiss?
Jeremy.
Oh, what is an M&M? Shit. Jeremy, I made my wrong first answer.
You're locked in on Hershey's Kiss, unfortunately. Jeremy.
Yeah.
I said it.
I didn't hear what you said. I heard.
I said M&M.
Famous white rapper.
Yeah, what is an M&M?
See, I gave Dan a clue. There's your clue. Well done,
nice.
M&M's.
Good job, Jeremy.
It's good to finish off with a couple of correct ones. You're in control, Jeremy.
Give me U.S. history for 100.
100 U.S. history. Controversial 19th century flagged nicknamed Stars and Bars. I remember, here's my clue, I remember watching it plastered on the roof of a car as it went over jumps on a TV show.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Dan?
What is the US flag?
You know what?
I would call it, yeah.
That's what it's, Stars and Bars, but the answer is actually the Confederate flag. So isn't Stars and Bars the main American flag? Or do they call the Confederate flag Stars and Bars?
Yeah, I can look it up while you go to the next one.
I think that's a dud question, that one. All right, who's in control?
Is it still me?
Still you.
No, I think they might be right. It says, nicknamed the Stars and Bars, It originally had 7 stars for the first 7 states to secede. It would eventually have 13 stars representing all the states in the Confederacy.
Okay, there you go. Confederate flag. And did you know the TV show I was talking about? Dukes of Hazzard. You know, it was on the roof of the car. They had this wicked V8 Chevy or something. I loved it when I was a kid. All right, Jeremy, what would you like?
Let's go U.S. history for 200.
U.S. history for 200. Its full name is Liberty and Lightening the World.
What is the Statue of Liberty?
Statue of Liberty. I did not know that.
Nice. Neither did I.
Statue of Liberty. Well done. I thought it could be the Liberty Bells in Philly. Is that where they are, Dan?
Yes, sir.
All right, Jeremy, you're in control. What would you like?
Let's do astronomy for 100.
Astronomy for 100. Second largest planet in the solar system. All right, this one's...
I have zero clue. What is Uranus?
All right, let's... Uranus
see.
Is one.
What is Saturn?
Saturn, all right. I would say Jupiter, but I don't really know. So we've got Uranus, Saturn, and Jupiter. Saturn is correct. That was Dan, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, because I think Jupiter is the largest. Okay, 60s trivia for 100.
60s trivia for 100. Let's clean out the board. By 1966, the Air Force had logged 10,147 sightings, but didn't believe any. Mm. What are UFOs? Dan, do you want to have a punt? Can't be anything
what
else.
UFOs?
Yeah, it's got to be UFOs. UFOs is correct. Well done, Dan. Let's finish it off.
For 200?
60s trivia, 200. It's what LBJ showed off to reporters in October 1965.
Oh, man. My mind meant immediately to smut.
Yeah, so did I. I thought, did he drop his trousers?
His Playboy centerfold.
Jeremy, do you have any idea what LBJ was showing off to reporters?
Nope.
LBJ was the one that was all for the Vietnam War, so I would say something to do with the Vietnam War. Let's take a look. A scar. We're all wrong. All right, that sounds a bit dodgy. Showing reporters.
All right, I'm going to give Jeremy the last crack.
Jeremy, you've received the honors.
I can't learn anything about astronomy.
It's a gift that he doesn't want. Let's do it. Stars forming patterns exactly. As seen from Earth, such as Orion. Stars forming patterns.
You got this.
Yeah, right.
You know those, what do you call those things and people read them and say they can tell the future?
Yeah, is that astrology?
All right, let's go with that. Anything to do with astrology, I'll accept. Constellation. Well, I'm going to give you the points anyway. Yeah. You got the gist of it. All right, let's have a round of applause for our fantastic contestants, Dan Grick and Jeremy. All right, let's wrap up that and let's... talk to our first guest on the left, Dan Grick. Tell us about all the exciting things you've been doing with your business. What do we call it?
So I run a academy called
BizHack
Academy.
That's the one. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we provide training to small business owners on marketing. Particularly leveraging AI tools. And we've been doing this for 7 years, and we've trained thousands of businesses around the world on 6 continents. And, you know, one of the things that we offer that I would encourage folks to take advantage of is we do free master classes that are funded by the government. So they're really high quality. They're on Zoom. You can attend from anywhere, and you can just go to bizhack.com/MC for masterclass. We have one coming up here in April about the topic of SEO and AI. And then early next month in May of 2024, we have another one about how to use no-code tools to build out automations for your business. So
that's awesome, Dan.
We keep rolling on those.
Yeah. What types of no-code tools Can you give us a bit of a teaser?
We're specifically talking about make.com, which is one of many options. And what's really cool, so no code means you don't need to actually know how to write code in order to build a little software for your business. And, you know, the number one way to save money, the number one way to use AI in your business is to use it for intelligent automation to save time and money. That'll go straight to your bottom line. And one of the tools you can use to do that is called make.com. And we're going to talk about the idea of no code and intelligent automation, and then show a demo of the tool.
Can you give us an example of a use of that tool and why people would be interested in it?
Yeah, you know, there's a ton of stuff that you do in your business that is, I call it boring but important. These repetitive tasks that can actually take up a lot of time and cost a lot of money because you have to hire someone to do them, or even worse, do them yourself. And so, you know, what we do is we recommend businesses kind of map their processes and look for, you know, boring but repetitive tasks, and then use a combination of AI and automation to make those simpler and easier. And the, you know, the easiest example is, imagine, you know, when someone registers for our masterclass, they will get an automated reply confirming their registration, and then automated reminders when it's coming up. You know, this is obvious, it's almost expected. The alternative would be to have a human being monitoring a registration list and sending by hand, you know, an email confirmation. And so automation actually can not only save a lot of time, but create a better customer experience. And so what you want to do as a business is say, that's an obvious one, but there's lots and lots and lots of other things, from invoicing to recruiting, where you can build systems like that. And that's really what we mean by intelligent automation, is, you know, doing, and this isn't new, right? These, you know, email sequences and automation have been, you know, been done through Salesforce and HubSpot and other systems for a long time. What's changed is you can now incorporate AI to improve, you know, the quality. And perhaps the best example of that is the chat on your website, right? That's a really simple, easy to understand example. Instead of having, you know, a customer service rep take every phone call, you can actually build an intelligent chatbot relatively easily into your system. Chatbase is one of the softwares that do that. And then you can actually answer a lot of questions that your average prospect would have before then booking them on a call.
Dan, can people use these types of automated chatbots to actually close sales, or do you prefer to use it to forward people to an appointment call?
You know, unless you're an e-commerce company where the entirety of the sales process is largely going to be electronic or, you know, digital communication, I never would recommend, you know, a business try to close a sale without a human-to-human connection. So I don't think that that's really the best use of the technology. I think a better use is to have the common questions answered before they hop onto a sales interaction with you. For instance, if you're a retail store, what are your hours? Where are you located? Where do I park? All of those things that maybe in the past you used to call and ask, you know, now can be handled in a phone tree. So this is kind of an electronic version of that.
Awesome. And what do you use for your all-in-one marketing and also your chatbot? What was the chatbot called again? Closebot.
So we use Chatbase.
Chatbase.
Base. And it basically allows you to create a database of your content and then a chatbot that's trained on that content. And then in terms of our, you know, customer relationship manager and automation system, we use something called Go High Level. Go High Level is just a competitor to HubSpot or Salesforce, but in my opinion, lot cheaper and a little easier.
Yeah, very good high level, especially with that chat, the chat integration that they've got. I didn't realize it. I thought they had their own chat bot. That's awesome. And when's that seminar coming up on all the automation stuff?
That one coming up in May. And the one on SEO, which is another, you know, great topic, is coming up. So just to give you the specific dates, it's April 24th. And if you register at bizhack.com/MC, you'll get a copy of the recording. The one on make.com and intelligent automation is on Wednesday, May 15th. And both of these are at 8:30
Was that was that 8:30? It kind of glitched out there. Was it 8:30 p.m. Eastern? 12:30. Okay,
no,
gotcha.
12:30 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, May 15th, and April.
And
Wednesday,
just to
April
tell
24th.
Us about the other one, the SEO, using AI for SEO. That's interesting to me. What, just briefly, are some of the ways that you could use AI in your SEO content building, I guess?
Yeah, you know, we built out a whole course on this topic, and in summary, there are kind of four components to using AI for SEO. The first is building your keyword strategy. SEO, AI can be very, very helpful with that and allows you to potentially avoid using some very expensive tools like SEO Moz. The second is, once you have your keyword strategy, it can help you build an editorial calendar to create content based on those keywords. That's element two. Element three is, it can then help you draft and optimize those blog posts. And then element four is, it can help you. It can help you draft is element three, and element four is optimize, you know, to enhance the SEO in them. So those are the kind of four ways that AI can be really, really helpful.
Yes,
with
it
SEO.
Does a lot of the heavy lifting. And what do you think about AI content? Is it possible to create good content using AI, in your opinion?
You know, the content that AI generates without any human intervention or guidance is very generic, and it won't work. It's essentially a waste of time. The only way for you to create content that's actually going to be valuable to you and to your customer is by taking the initial draft that the AI has created and adding two key elements. Number one, your personal anecdotes of related to it, so like examples of you working with a company and applying some of the best practices discussed. And then second is adding your specific expertise. If you can do those two things, which is adding kind of tips and tricks that you've learned from doing this for years and stories from the field about how this actually works in real life, and then you take the initial draft that AI can help make, that's when you'll have content that will actually convert. If you just rely on generic content, which is what AI generates, you can pretty much assume that 1,000 other firms have done the exact same thing, and they did it ahead of you.
Yes, and people can actually tell if it's just been spat out by AI, and you're going to get bounce rates on your content. And if you actually have a little bit of interaction with it, like what Dan was saying, you know, you can also sort of create a almost template formula of what your own best content looks like, and plug that into ChatGPT with anecdotes like Dan was talking about. There's lots of ways to make it really good, and then you just got to give it a bit of a tweak. That's awesome, Dan. I'm really interested in that stuff. I might see if I can get you to speak at Collabpalooza, which is coming up, which is all about that stuff. That's great. And if you want to get in touch with Dan, all his contacts are in the show notes. He's got a couple of really awesome webinars. Are they webinars, one-day events?
Yeah, these are 90-minute free Zoom sessions that we also post on our YouTube channel, so you can see more than 100 different webinars that we've done in the past on topics such as SEO for AI for SEO content, and you can find those at the at BizHack Academy. That's on YouTube and across all social media at BizHack Academy.
Fantastic. Thanks, Dan. That's really good information, and people need to be getting their head around all of this because it's all happening and there's a lot of opportunities if once you get learn how to use AI, and it can do a lot for you. So thank you very much, Dan Gretsch.
You're welcome.
Jeremy Funderburk, patiently sitting over there. Thank you for joining us, and tell us a little bit about what you're up to. So you were in the corporate world. Right. And now you are doing something which you call, what do you call it? No longer 40.
Phantom launching.
That's the one. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, once again, thanks for having me, Dan. Congrats on destroying me in Jeopardy. And that's amazing, everything that you got going on with the AI space. But yeah, so I'm the leader of the Never Work the 40 movement. And really, it's just, I specialize in teaching people how to build a six-figure part-time business. And most recently, we've been doing that with a process that I created called Phantom Launching, which is just a strategy we use to go from selling one-to-one to selling one-to-many. So whether you're doing webinars, masterclasses, challenges, whether you're doing virtual events or live events, I just specialize in teaching people how to go from where they're at to having $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 days by selling one-to-many as opposed to one-to-one.
And do you want to give us a sort of Cliff Notes version of the formula, I guess, that you use?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is just the mindset, getting people prepared mentally. So the first thing I do is I get them prepared to be able to make that amount, because most people never think I can make 40,000 in a day. And if you don't think you can do it, you're not going to do it. So the first thing I do is I help people with the mindset. From there, we go into, all right, now let's create an offer that can actually be scalable, that the audience actually wants. So we do all the market research, get all the prep work. And then once we have an offer solidified that we know the market's going to want, we basically go into building your webinar, building out your event, while we do what's called the Phantom Offer, which is just a simple organic post that you can do. Typically, I have zero organic following because I started my business 5 years ago as a paid ads guy. So I knew I could just throw money into Facebook and make a lot of money. But for the organic people that might not have the budget, we teach them how to do a simple post, broken down to a few parts. Hey, don't know if you know this about me, a credibility statement, then an offer to your virtual event. Typically, my clients have seen close, low-end 50 leads. Higher-end was a lady named Mandy who got closer to 200 leads for her webinar.
And this and is all through paid traffic?
This is all organic traffic. That's all through organic traffic.
So what are they doing as far as building their, you know, their messaging and branding and all of that stuff organically? What are some of the things that they're doing that's able to drive people through into their offers?
Yep. So that typically just starts with a regular post and it gathers your original following. From there, we also leverage AI. There's a tool called Easy Messenger and it connects to your Facebook. We use it for outreach and then it connects with ChatGPT and they'll have an intuitive conversation and actually book people into your webinars for you. So you can search for your ideal client. It scrapes a list of them on Facebook and the AI reaches out and invites them to your webinars.
All right. And what can people expect if they go through this funnel here? What does that lead to?
Yeah. So that one goes to a case study of Elizabeth. She went from, I didn't know who she was, to us completely changing up her offer and her having her first $20,000 days within 8 weeks of meeting me.
With organic content?
Yeah, hers was all organic. She hasn't spent a penny in paid ads.
Okay, awesome. Well, if you want to get in touch with Jeremy, I've got his stuff in the show notes as well, and check out what Jeremy's doing with Never Work the 40. Thanks to our fantastic guests. I'm going to wrap things up. And I'll see you next time. Bye.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks.